You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Thanks. This is a very exciting night for me, and I really appreciate being here for a couple of reasons. One is this is my last presentation as the Executive Director of the BC Civil Liberties Association, so thanks for coming. I'm moving on to another career. And the BCCLA has been very good to me, and I really appreciate my time there. And but also to be here with really the personification of something that I fought for with many amazing people, some of whom you heard from tonight, from Doug, Preston, Bonnie, other people in the audience, Cameron Ward, and other folks, Richard Rosenthal, for the end of police self-investigation in cases of serious harm. It's very exciting. For me to be here on this night with this person who we have confidence in to do this job in an agency that we believe has been set up in a way that will address some of these concerns that we've had. It's a thrill. Cautiously optimistic, yes, but very exciting to be here anyway. Here's why we're here. 1992 to 2007. This is our statistic for police-involved deaths or deaths in custody, one for every 16,000 people. Ontario, police-involved deaths, one for every 41,806 people over the same period of time, 316 deaths in Ontario, 267 in British Columbia. You'll notice that that is more than twice, our number is more than twice as high in terms of police-involved deaths and custody deaths than Ontario. The question is why? Why is that? Why is our number so bad? We asked the RCMP whose statistics these were. These aren't our numbers. Our numbers were different. They were more dire. These are the RCMP's numbers, and they said they didn't know. They couldn't tell us. And that is a problem. The lack of statistics, lack of ability to identify trends. Why are people dying? Great question. It seems like something that should take far more priority than it has, and we hope that it will. Despite all the excitement personally that I have about the establishment of the Independent Investigation Office, about the hiring of Richard Rosenthal, about the possibilities that it presents for independent, thorough, comprehensive investigations, there are challenges that this office will face that have nothing to do, even if they do the greatest investigations. And the challenges are illustrated by the case of the man you see on the screen in front of you, Paul Boyd, an animator, lived in Vancouver. He was loved by his family, well-respected member of our society, had a mental health issue, bipolar disorder. He was off his medication and was a passerby, misunderstood an interaction at a bus stop, believed there was a fight when in fact there wasn't a fight, called the police. The police in plainclothes attended. Things escalated between the police and Paul to the point where Paul struck one of the officers with a bicycle lock, those little combination locks, cut the officer's head, and then ran in the middle of Granville Street where he was shot 9 times by a police officer. The reason why this case is so important is it illustrates the challenge that Mr. Rosenthal's office will have in winning over the public, because let's assume that the greatest investigation ever was done. There is one big problem, and that is the use of experts, the experts who are hired, but not just the use of experts, but how the Crown makes decisions about whether or not to approve criminal charges in a given case. You won't know this guy, probably. This is Bill Lewinsky. He's the head of a group called Force Options. He was the expert who was hired first by the Vancouver Police Department and then by the Office of the Police Complaint Commissioner to provide his opinion about what happened on Granville Street that night. First of all, was the force justified? His answer was yes. Second of all, why did the officer not notice in those final 30 seconds that Paul Boyd had been disarmed, was crawling in the street, his colleague was yelling, "Hold your fire." Why didn't he notice these things before he shot Paul Boyd in the head, killing him? And he said, well, it's something remarkable called inattentional blindness, which you haven't heard of before in Canada, but it means that the officer was so focused on shooting to save his life, he did not notice that Boyd was disarmed and crawling. And I guess he said it quickly enough that it made sense. But the bottom line is that his opinion, coupled with the investigative reports done by the Vancouver Police themselves, resulted in the Crown saying there's nothing for us here and not approving charges. What they didn't say was that Bill Lewinsky runs a private for-profit school for police officers, that he only testifies in the defense of police interests. He is a hired expert for police. He says he doesn't have the time to provide evidence against police officers. I don't know why the Vancouver police and why the Crown didn't ask him, have you ever testified against police? Because that seems like that would be something important to ask an expert. A video came to light that badly embarrassed the Office of the Police Complaint Commissioner and many others, because it showed exactly what the eyewitness accounts had provided, which was that Boyd was there. You can see him. It's very hard to see, but he's to the left of the Jeep, crawling on his hands and knees, disarmed. You can see that he's surrounded by police officers, and Constable Chipperfield shoots him anyway. Incidentally, the witnesses, the civilian witnesses in those vehicles, were not interviewed by the Vancouver Police Department, nor were they their license plates noted or anything else. So this is a challenge in terms of scene control. But in any event, remarkably, when this came to light, the police complaint commissioner then said, oh, we're never going to use Bill Lewinsky again. And in fact, we've got a problem with police use of force experts. The Raleigh Woods deputy police complaint commissioner told the CBC, quote, I know the difficulty we have with these use of force opinions. They're for the most part and in favor of the police, and in my experience, biased towards the police. And I was like, what? That's something that I would say. So I couldn't believe that the police complaint commissioner was saying that, but that it reflects the core nature of this challenge, that there, after a couple decades of police accountability, you heard Mr. Rosenthal, we're so far ahead on this, how can there not be a pool of experts that we can rely on? The BCCLA said that there should be three principles. Police experts should be independent, personally and financially, of the police. They should be accredited by recognized institutions for what they're asked to give opinions on, and they should be credible. They should have testified credibly on both sides of the fence, both for and against police interests. And so the big question is, why are we not using experts that have at least these criteria? Because it's so embarrassing when the case goes ahead and the expert says X and it turns out to be Y, when the videotape reveals what we all know, which is that there are very serious issues. Frank Paul, Paul Boyd, Robert Jankowski, experts playing important roles in all three of those cases. In all three of those cases, charges not being approved despite there being major issues, in my opinion, that should have been addressed. And these videos are corrosive to public opinion when it comes to our police being held accountable. So here's Robert Wright. Robert Wright lives in Terrace, lived in Terrace with his wife. He was taken into custody by Terrace RCMP under suspicion of drunk driving. He was taken to cells. In cells, something happened. He was taken out of cells to the hospital. He got some stitches. He was taken back to cells, taken back to hospital, back and forth. Ultimately, he was airlifted to New Westminster Hospital. After three visits to the Terrace Hospital, he was airlifted to New West to the Trauma Center, where he underwent emergency brain surgery and is now barely able to speak. He can't look after himself. He's in full-time adult daycare because he is so badly brain injured. What happened in the cells? And what was the role of experts in the Wright case? It's happening again. The same thing is happening again. I put a question mark there because there is videotape from the cells. There's videotape from where he was, the scene of his arrest. The videotape in the cells, the criminal justice branch tells us, shows him kneeling, facing the wall with his legs crossed while he's being searched by three armed, I assume, at least trained police officers. He attempts to stand and he's handcuffed. And he's taken to the ground where he smashes his head, causing the injury that required him to go to the hospital in the first time. The Crown said that there's no link, according to the medical expert, between that cut to his head that he took from hitting his head in the cell and the brain injury, although it probably didn't help his brain injury. In any event, the medical expert played a critical role in saying that there was no link, but also another expert, a police expert, played a critical role in saying that the use of force was not criminal. At the very least. The concern that we have is that the Independent Investigation Office, this investigation was done by New Westminster Police, but this could have been done by the Independent Investigation Office. They could have done this investigation. They could have gotten the use of force expert report, which said this was inappropriate use of force, and then forwarded it on to the Crown. We understand now that the Crown actually got the use of force report and called the expert and then got some information, did some investigating on their own, which resulted in them not approving the charges that the investigator had recommended. And so clearly there's an issue here in terms of what happens at the criminal justice branch, the additional investigative steps that they're willing to take. They didn't go out and get another medical report and say, oh, we should get another opinion about whether or not this guy's head getting smashed in the cells led to the brain injury. But they did go out and try to get another use of force analysis in terms of the use of force report that said that the force was excessive. And these kinds of closed, behind closed doors assessments of what happened are what we're really concerned about. So, in my opinion, the use of experts is the biggest challenge. Who the experts are, where they come from, what they say, and the lack of transparency. We've had to publicly demand that the criminal justice branch release the name of this expert, that the videotape be released, because the public deserves to know why there hasn't been a criminal trial. And the criminal justice branch has said, well, they never released the name on Friday when they issued their so-called clear statement, and they've said the videotape and the report by the expert are the property of the RCMP. And we're hopeful the RCMP will release that information, at least to the family. But those are the challenges that we face. So in summary, we want your office to succeed, Richard. We want it to succeed. It's very important that it succeeds because police accountability is critical to police being able to do their jobs. If people fear the police when they call 911, if they fear if something goes wrong, there will be no accountability. They won't call police. They won't cooperate with police. Police will not be able to do their jobs. This is why the police union supported the establishment of the IIO. This is why the police chief supported the establishment of the IIO, because it is critical to the police serving their function in British Columbia. And it's critical to addressing the issue that I started off this process with, which is saying, why do we have more than twice as many deaths as Ontario? Those are my remarks of my last presentation on behalf of the BCCLA. I don't want it to end. I could just keep going. So thank you so much for coming this evening.